My text for tonight is from Matthew chapter 5. The Bible says that Jesus went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteous sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." The casual reader of this Sermon on the Mountain often say the Sermon on the Mountain constitute the essence of Christianity. But friend, he who climbed first to preach that sermon must also climb another mountain to practice what he preached. Let any person put this message into practice in their own lives, and they too will draw down upon themselves the wrath of the world. The day that our Lord preached this Sermon on the Mountain, he signed his own death warrant. The sound of the hammer and nails digging through human flesh were the echoes thrown back from the mountainside, where he told people how to be blessed, how to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy, but his ways are not the ways of the world. Isaiah 55 and verse 8 tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith God." This is red letter stuff, right here in the Old Testament. This is God talking. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways." One way to make enemies and to antagonize people is to challenge the spirit of the world. The world has a spirit, just as each age has a spirit. There are some unanalyzed assumptions which govern the conduct of this world. Anyone who challenges these worldly assumptions, such as "you only live once, get as much out of life as you can, who will ever know about it," is bound to make himself unpopular. Many of us today still hear the sayings of them of old, sayings such as, "Every tub sits on its own bottom." Some would quote this as if it was in the Bible. Then there's that saying that one match can start a forest fire. Smokey the Bear said it. We believed it. I did, until I went camping. And the Sermon on the Mountain, or the Beatitudes as it is known, our Lord takes the catchwords of the world: security, laughter, popularity, getting even, and comfort, and turns them upside down. To those who would say, "You can't be happy unless you're rich," he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." To those who would say, Don't let him get away with it. Jesus says, turn the other cheek. To those who would say, laugh, and the world laughs with you, Jesus says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. To those who would say, if nature gives you sex instincts, you ought to give them free expression. To those, Jesus says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Those who say, seek to be popular, Jesus says, blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The cheap cliches around which movies are made and novels are written, he scorns. All of those false beatitudes which makes happiness depend on self-expression, having a good time, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow you die, he rejects because they bring false hopes, fears, and anxieties. Those who would escape the impact of this message say that our divine Lord was a creature of his own time, and therefore his words do not apply to us. Jesus was not a man of his time, nor of any time, but we are. Our Lord did not belong to his time, his day, any more than he belongs to ours. And because he suited no age, he was the model for all ages. He never used a phrase that depended on the social order in which he lived. His gospel was no easier then than it is now. Jesus used phrases like, you have heard. When he said, you have heard, he reached back to what people had heard for centuries and still hear today from our social reformers. All of those rules, codes, and precepts, between instinct and reason, between local customs and the greatest and highest ideas. When Jesus said, you have heard, he included the Mosaic Law, Buddha with his eightfold way, Aristotle with his natural happiness, the broadness of the Hindu, and all of the humanitarian groups of our day. Of all of these compromises, he says, you have heard. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. Moses had said it. Pagan tribes suggested it. Primitive people respected it. And then comes that three-letter word, but. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. Our Lord goes to the soul, lays hold on thought. He goes into the depths of the heart and brands the intent to sin a sin. Here our Lord lays hold on all of those social theories which say that sin, evil, is the result of our environment. He affirms that selfishness, greed, adultery, crime, and political corruption, all these come from the heart of mankind. The offenses come from the heart, not from the environment. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murderers, adulterers, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man. These are the things that defile a man. Evil thoughts, murderous, adulterous, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. In John chapter 8, it's the story of a woman taken in adultery and brought to Jesus in order to get his opinion on the matter. They said, "Kill her." Jesus said, "I don't condemn you. Go and sin no more." The heart of the matter is always the matter of the heart. Jesus talked about the hatred, the revenge and violence expressed in the sayings of the old timers, such as "get even," "sue him," "don't let him get away with it," "don't be a fool." He knew them all. And to all of those, he said, "You have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, whosoever shall smite you on your right cheek, turn to him the other cheek." Wow, this is some hard stuff. This is difficult. "You have heard it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." These are the things Christ came to teach, and they no more suited his time than they do ours. The Sermon on the Mount is so much at variance with all that the world holds dear, that the world will crucify anyone who tries to live up to its values. Only mediocrity survives. Those who call black black and white white are sentenced for intolerance. Only the gray lives. The Sermon on the Mountain, which Christ preached, are not suggestions. They're not just good ideas. They are hard facts, inseparable from the cross. What he taught was self-crucifixion. To love those who hate us, to forgive those who hurt us, to bless those who would curse us, to have truth and justice and the love of God in our hearts, to deny ourselves legitimate pleasures in order to sentence the old man in us to death. Those who heard him preach were invited to stretch themselves out on a cross, to find happiness on a higher level, to despise all that the world holds sacred, to hate all that God hates, and to love all that God loves. Then, in Luke chapter 6, Jesus added these four woes. "Woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you when all men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets." Crucifixion cannot be far away when one says woe to the rich, to the full, to the happy, and to the popular.